Welcome to the Windsor Podcast.
I don't know about you, but I got into this to help people. We need more openness and more transparency in government.
Here's your host, Mark McKenzie.
Thank you so very much for tuning in. Yeah, the first ever episode of the Windsor Podcast. I am your host, Ward 4 City Councillor Mark McKenzie. Thanks for tuning in. WindsorPodcast.com is where you can check us out on the web, and you can find us on all your podcast and streaming apps. Got a great first show for you, by the way. Ward 3 Councillor Ronaldo Agostino is going to be joining us in just a little bit. So that's going to be cool because we're going to be talking about downtown, some things that we got coming up, and why he decided to get into politics to begin with. You know, went from a business owner to getting into politics. So that's going to be a great conversation with Ronaldo coming up in just a little bit. First, a little bit about me, why I decided to get into politics, a bit of history. So born and raised in Windsor. Lived here pretty much my entire life, but got into radio in 2004. I decided to go to Specs Howard School of Media Arts. Got my first job while I was still going to Specs Howard. I was going to school for a few months, got an internship at a station called 95.1 The Rock, which is now 100.7 Cool FM. So I got an internship there. After about 2 months, I was on the air. And, you know, after doing that for a year, I decided to move around the country because that's what you got to do when you're in radio. You got to get your feet wet and move around. So I went from Windsor to Sudbury, worked in Sudbury for a bit, then went to Thunder Bay, then went to Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, came back to Windsor in 2007, got a job at 89X in Windsor and was there for 13 years. Until 2020 when Bell Media went through mass layoffs, changed the format of the station. So myself and about 15 others got let go. And after that, Rogers Media reached out and offered me a job in Winnipeg. And I was like, there's no way I'm leaving. I knew I wasn't going to move my family there. I said no. They asked me again. I said no. They asked me a third time. I said, okay, maybe I'll do it. My wife was like, you know, go. Do it. If you don't do it, you're going to have regrets. You need to know, like, is your heart still in radio or isn't it? And I had a feeling it wasn't, but I went anyway. I went to Winnipeg. My wife and son stayed in Windsor. It was the hardest 6 months of my life. And I went there and was working on my real estate license. I said, okay, I'll go there. Let me work on my real estate license. That way I can come back to Windsor. I had a decent following from my years in radio. So that's what I did. Went to Winnipeg again. My wife and son stayed here. I moved back just after my birthday in 2021 and then got my real estate license soon after that. I wanted to get into real estate because it gave me the flexibility to be able to take my young son to school and pick him up and you know, work as much or as little as I wanted, right? And so that's what I did. So had a great first year in real estate. I work with Royal LePage Binder Real Estate. They're an amazing company, very family-oriented and just honest and just really good people there. Our broker, Frank Binder, and the management team there is just incredible, and that's why I decided to go work for them. But anyways, in 2022, the councillor in my ward, Ward 4 at the time, decided to run for mayor. That's Chris Holt. So it opened up the council seat, and I said to my wife, I'm like, you know what? I've always been interested in politics. My father ran for city council when I was a child. Unfortunately, didn't win, but it sparked my interest in politics and current events and news and all that stuff. So I said, you know what? I think I want to run. I could never run when I was on the radio because I would have had to leave, you know, you can't do both. And I just wasn't in a position to do that at the time. I loved what I was doing still. So, but I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to run. And my wife, the most supportive person in my life, was like, absolutely, go do it. My dad said, go do it. Everybody supported me during that. So that's what I did. I didn't have a campaign manager. Nobody was telling me how to run my campaign. it was literally just me knocking on doors. My mother-in-law helped pass out flyers and she was spreading the word. My parents, you know, and some friends and stuff, you know, I'd go out on the weekends and do flyer drops and, you know, I'd have some friends and family members help with that. But mainly it was me. You know, I made my signs, I made my flyers, like designed them all and everything. And it was a lot of fun. There were 8 candidates total in my ward. I won with 27 votes. And I knew from day one that it was going to be a tight one. I said, whoever wins this is going to win by like a dozen votes. you know, a dozen or two dozen votes. And well, that's pretty much what it was. 27 votes. It was a close one. A lot of amazing candidates. Again, eight of us. Everybody went hard. Everybody was knocking on doors, passing out flyers. So it was a really close race. And again, we had some really, really good candidates running. And yeah, so now I've been a city councilor for almost a year now, and I absolutely love it. It is the hardest job I've ever had in my life. I've never put in this many hours before. It is, you know, and Ronaldo, I'm sure, will tell you, it's like 80 hours a week, more than that probably. It's a tough job, but it is so worth it. We're not in it for the money, obviously, as I could make way more money in real estate. So it's an amazing job, and I cherish it every day. So that's a little bit about me, but yeah, I wanted to get into it to make people's lives better, honestly. I think that's why the majority of us get into politics. If you're in politics and that isn't why you're in it, is if you're in it for selfish reasons, then you should just get out, because I'm in it to just make people's life better, to make life more affordable, and make our city safe. And that's why I'm in it. You know, I've always been about helping those who are, you know, least fortunate. And that's why I wanted to get into politics. You know, that's why I want to be a city councilor. So that's what I try to do every single day. I always just try to help people with their problems. And there's policies, you know, in the city that I don't agree with. And I'm very open about that. And, you know, I think, again, the majority of us are in this for the right reasons, and we may not all agree all the time, and that's okay, because, you know what, we all still get along. I don't think none of us really argue with each other, which is great. I don't know how it was in the past. I think, you know, I've heard some stories about, you know, certain counselors wouldn't talk to other people and this and that. Not now. Like, it's pretty amazing. We all have open lines of communication. I chat with all the counselors all the time. You know, Ronaldo's the one I'm probably closest with. Ronaldo, Angelo, you know, I see Kieran McKenzie all the time, and Jim Morrison all the time. And I talk to Fabio quite often. Again, we're on, you know, a lot of the committees together, right? So I'm on all three standing committees. I'm chair of the library board. I'm on IRCA. I'm on the solid waste committee. I got four BIAs who are all incredible. I'm really lucky. I'm on the Willisted board of directors. I'm probably forgetting things, but I'm very busy, and I thoroughly enjoy everything about this job. So it's really incredible. With that being said, you know what? Let's get to our guest, the hardest working man in Windsor, Ward 3 Councillor Ronaldo Agostino. It's so good to have you here, man.
I feel like I'm in like the vault of 89X in here.
I haven't even put everything up. Yeah, I was talking to the mayor a couple weeks ago, and he was like, why don't you bring like all your 89X stuff? Because I'd have nothing in my office. We have offices. We got these new offices at City Hall. Few people have put stuff up. I think Angelo's put the most stuff up. It's all like denial artwork. I got nothing up in mine. I don't think you have much on your walls. So Drew was like, why don't you like bring your 89X stuff? Because I got like gold records, like Linkin Park gold records and all these other, like Stone Temple Pilots, you know? So I'm like, eh, maybe. But then I worry that they're going to disappear.
yeah, no, I actually brought it up to a few people last week. I'm disappointed in our offices that, you know, we have all this amazing artwork by all these kids, all the international artwork that sits, it's posted up against the wall. And I was like, why don't we just hang some of this stuff up on the walls and make it, you know, right now. And listen, I get it. We're just moving and people are busy. It's probably been a couple of months since the transition from the second floor to the fifth floor. Yeah. But, you know, it'd be nice if we made the office more inviting, because I think it'd be cool if we can get more people. Like, there's no, as a city councilor, you're not mandated to work out of your office.
Yeah.
You know, Ed's there every day. I'm trying to be there as much as I can.
Angelo's there most days.
Angelo's there most days as well, yeah. So it's, and I think the more people we can get in there and the more conversations, the more talking, the more unity, you know, I think that it would help more. So part of that is going to be, like, you brought in a coffee machine, which was awesome. You know, I'd love to bring in an arcade machine, something, you know, just something that gets people motivated to be there more. And,
yeah.
And you know, it's not just being around the councilors, too. It's around being around administration and being around the mayor and the mayor's office and, you know, constantly having this line of communication open. But I get it, too, because, you know, right now, as it stands, we're not supposed to be full-time councillors. You know what I mean? Even though we are, we're not
paid as full-time counselors. That's the difference.
Correct.
So, like, I think the majority of us are full-time counsel, more than full-time? Like, I know you put in more than, you're putting in probably, I don't know, 90 hours a week, probably more than that even. You literally are 24/7. I'm putting in way more than 40 hours a week. Ed is there again every day. Angelo took a leave of absence from his job. So it is more than a full-time job.
Yeah,
it really is.
And I think what makes it more than a full-time job is being accessible.
Yeah.
Right? If you continue, and I think every counselor is accessible. There's not one counselor that I know of that deliberately is not trying to respond to their residents or the businesses that are in their community. I think everyone is responsive. Some people have dedicated full-time jobs, you know, like Fabio and Fred right off the top, not saying that they work less than anybody else because they're always talking to me. They're always working. But, you know, Fabio's trying to manage a legal career and yeah. Fred's running the MCC, which, you know, I've been close with the MCC for years. And that's one hell of a job to have to manage on top of everything else that you're doing. So it's certainly not easy. And it'd certainly be nice if we were acknowledged as full-time employees and paid as full-time employees. But we didn't get into this for the money. It's just, you know, sometimes I hope people understand that, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And it is what you make it. But if you run for office, you have the passion to do better for things for your community. So it should be expected that you're going to be on the grind 24/7. It just sucks because sometimes the people that are around you, you know, your loved ones, your kids, your friends look at you and say, you know, dude, you got to slow down. You know what I mean? You got to take care of yourself. You got to worry about yourself here. You worry too much about your job, which isn't really a job, right? It's more of a position. It's a leadership role, you know, and there's jobs that are also leadership roles, but this is an interesting job because it doesn't come with a manual that says, hey, you got to do this, this, and this. You know, you get your calendar invites to be at your meetings, but other than that, you're 24/7, you're trying to help people, you know, and that's what I find so far.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, your son's older than mine, but, you know, I know you're a father. I have a 9-year-old. That's the toughest part for me is trying to balance, you know, because I drop him off at school. I pick him up at school. And then, you know, he's in recreation. You know, he's got soccer and baseball and all this other stuff. So that's the tough part is balancing the family with that. But you mentioned, you know, and I think we all are in this for the right reasons, at least currently on council, we're all in it for the right reasons. I think most people are in it for the right reasons. But why did you decide to run for city council?
You know, I've been downtown for 35 years. I've operated businesses downtown. I live downtown on and off. I'm back living downtown again. Downtown's just been my entire life. And, you know, there was so many times where I had so many different ideas and I wanted to do so many different things, and I would talk to people, and some people would always be receptive, and some people would just, you know, as always, just blow you off and say, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't think you could do this. And then, you know, it came to the point where I was, like, considering it. Someone had mentioned in my ear that one person had mentioned in my ear that I should do it. One person said I'd never win. One person said this. One person says that. And, you know, and then I said to myself, why wouldn't I? And interestingly enough, my brother is very close with, was very close, still is very close with Pam and Abe, and who's close, Pam's close with Abe. And
who's Pam, just so people?
Pam Mady.
Okay.
She was one of my campaign managers. I believe she was also Fred's campaign manager for the last election. But, you know, the conversation started coming up that my brother was telling a few people that I had no idea were key influencers in the political world, because prior to me running for this election, I knew there was always a divide, that's for sure, but I didn't know that there was, like, different teams and different people that were pushing for different people to win different positions. And I followed somewhat closely, but I wasn't, like, you know, I would say one of those full-time political analysts, right? Like, I was trying to run two different companies and, you know, run a boxing gym. And, like, I was really busy with events and everything else I've been doing in my life for the last 35 years to really be dug in. And I think that's an advantage for me. I find that's an advantage for me because I have no hostility with anybody. At least I don't think I do. I'm not, like, I don't pick sides. I'm not on certain teams. All I want to do is what's best. And, you know, and that's what I continue to try and do. And we'll see how it turns out after the next 3 years. But I just felt that it was something I really wanted to do. And with me, if there's something I want to do, I hate to lose. I absolutely hate to lose. And if I put my name on something, whether it's a project, whether it's a paper, whether it's running for office, it's just something that I, or whether it's playing sports, I just don't have it in me to lose. So I put everything I had into it, and here I am.
I think we're very much alike in that way, where, again, we don't like to lose, and then once we start something, we always want to finish it. But then the more people that tell you you're not going to be able to do it or you can't do something, we're very much, I think, alike in that way, is where we're like, oh, I can't do it? Well, now I'm going to show you that I can, right? And I think that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Some people may look at that as a bad thing, where I use that as motivation, and I think you do too. For anyone who maybe doesn't know, you've mentioned it before, like, there's people who talk a lot on council. You know, Kieran and Jim are very close, right? And where, like, me and you talk numerous times a day, every day. pretty much, if there's a day that goes by where we don't talk, it's kind of weird. But yeah, I think me and you were both in very, I'd say, the most competitive races. You had, I think, 9 people running in your ward. I had 8 people running in my ward. And, you know, we were kind of chatting during the campaign, and I said to you from the beginning, and you already knew too, he said, look, if we're going to win this thing, you know, like, each of us, like, it's going to come down to a couple dozen votes, if that. So we knew that from the beginning. And you still get those people who are like, well, you only won by 27 votes, or you only won by 75 votes. And it's like, yeah, but we knew that that was going to happen. You know, there were a lot of close races, and ours were very, very close races. But again, we knew that because there were a lot of people running in the same race, and a lot of people were, you always get some of those who just don't do anything. They just put their name in and then don't campaign. But we had some people who were really going hard. Like in mine, everybody went hard in mine. And you had a really close race as well.
I had no idea. Like, I had no idea how things were going to turn out. And it's not something, and I'll be 1,000% honest, it's not something that I even was on my radar of, like, who's working hard, or am I going to win, or am I going to win by this many votes? And my entire mindset was always try your best, do your best, and win or lose, as long as you tried your best, I would have been satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way I've lived my entire life, is that I wouldn't have been ashamed if win or lose, because I knew that I put in everything I had. And, you know, usually in life, and I tell this to people all the time, you get out what you put in. And that's, you know, a really close friend taught me that lesson a long time ago. Whatever you put in, you're going to get out. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if I just put in everything I had, I wouldn't walk away disappointed. And that was my goal. I didn't want to feel like I did something that I didn't put every ounce of my heart into. And I have so many great ideas for downtown. And I every day I get to see those ideas inching closer to getting done. So I'm really happy. I'm really happy I did it. I'm certainly really happy that I won. But, you know, to me, it's just continuing to do good things for the downtown and the community, and the downtown especially, I feel needs, it's no secret, you know, the downtown needs the most help of any area in this city, and it's something I want to keep doing.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, recently it was announced that, quote, Made in Windsor solution for downtown. You know, Strategy Corp is now doing this this survey with residents. Let's kind of elaborate on that. How did we get to this? And then what are the next steps?
Well, it's been since day one for me that I got in, where I've been asking for more help, trying to wrap my head around, if we could have a plan, what would the plan be? And I remember walking into the mayor's office, and, you know, I had just these sheets of all my ideas, and, you know, and I'm like, we got to do this, we can do this, and from day one, he's always been very receptive to me. And, you know, we certainly don't see this, we're not on the same, we don't agree to all the issues, and neither do you and I. We don't agree on all the issues, but we all agree that we're friends and we're going to get along, right? because at the end of the day, we're going to do what's best for our city. So every time I'd sit down with the mayor and I'd say, listen, I would like to, and he'd always say to me, he's like, dot your I's, cross your T's, slow down, do it the right way. Because if you make a mistake, it's going to be more costly to you in the future than it is right now. Don't rush into this. Even though the urgency is there, he's like, I have a plan. I know we're going to navigate this. We're going to make it work. And he's always showing me these, like, because he's got ideas too, right? And he's showing me his ideas. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like, why didn't we do that? You know, he's like, he doesn't get into it. You know, he doesn't get into the backstory of the past. He's just like, I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. I'm like, oh, that's really good. That's better than my idea. And then we're like, well, we have ideas. I'm sure all the councilors have ideas. And I know the people have ideas. And I've been very open in listening to people since I got into office. You know, like just a few weeks ago, I was sitting with a gentleman named the TV show, Frasier Fathers. And I was having a beer with him and Reese, and he started talking to me about these building permits that other communities are doing that are they're like prefab building permits. So you just walk in, pay your $1,000 and you get the permit, you get the plans, you get everything. And it's really, really speeding up the accessibility of building new housing. And I looked at him, I said, do you mind if I bring that to council? And he's like, no problem. And Reese has like been pushing me to do the same thing. So I'm always getting all these ideas from a lot of different people in the community, like Stephanie Plant in Ottawa with the vacant unit tax that she's been working on for a little while.
She's a councillor in
Ottawa.
She's
a downtown councillor in Ottawa, but she's from here. She's from this area.
Oh, wow.
And just out of the blue one day, because I was researching this, I saw that Ottawa was somewhat involved, and I've been trying to put together, or I'm working on putting together a coalition of downtown city councilors across North America to have like phone calls, meetings, roundtables where we talk about what we're doing in our downtowns, because it's no surprise to anyone that downtowns are all suffering from the same issues these days. So I just looked her up on Google, and I saw her phone number, and I called her office. I didn't get a response, and then I get a message on Facebook saying, hey, Ronaldo, I got your message. And I'm like, that's really odd. Like, she messaged me on Facebook. And then I look, I see, we're Facebook friends. You know, like, I'm like,
oh, wow.
What are the odds of us being Facebook friends? And then we talk, and she's like, yeah, you know, I used to work at Howl at the Moon back in the day. Like, so she worked for Herb Gray here. And when he moved her out to Ottawa, she stayed. And now she's the Ottawa downtown councillor. So, you know, it's just, it's a lot of luck, a lot of fate, and a lot of just talking to people is bringing a lot of these really cool ideas to the table. And I, you know, I say it all the time, the entire city of Windsor is far more smarter than any city councilor. So if we can reach out to the people and get more ideas and get people to believe that there's going to be a plan, to believe in the plan and to be part of the plan and to get on board, we're going to expedite the process of helping resolve some of the major issues of downtown Windsor together. And that's the way things get done. Things get done together. And that's what I'm trying to do, is bring people together to help our downtown.
I really like that idea of getting councillors that represent downtowns from all over the country. And maybe, you know, North America even. I know you're going to Chicago for a downtown conference later on this week. And, you know, you always end up meeting people at these conferences. You know, we did AMO, when was that, in August? We went to AMO, which is the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. So pretty much, you know, everyone who works for a municipality or is an elected official, even, you know, MPPs were there from Ontario, and it was in London this year. Next year, it's in Ottawa. But you meet a lot of people at those things, too. You know, we chatting with the London councillors and councillors from Kitchener and Hamilton and, you know, again, Ottawa. And it's good to have those conversations, because then you start realizing, like, oh, this is how they fixed this. So this is how they've dealt with this. I mean, you know, I talk to Hilda McDonald all the time because they're doing the proactive bylaw, which we've discussed, right? And it's interesting to see, like, oh, wow, okay, so this is how they're doing this. And these are some of the problems that they faced and how they overcame those issues, right? So it's almost like they were the test pilot. Now you're like, well, here's the issues they ran into, but then this is how they solved it, right? And we're dealing with that, you know, with the organics as well right now. I think that's a cool idea, though, if you can start that where you get all, you know, and maybe you don't, you only meet maybe two or three times a year, mm-hmm. but at least you have those lines of communication open all the time, right?
Well, it's also technology, right? I've been in the business of meetings for a really long time in my life, and I see how Zoom and Microsoft Teams has changed the world in regards to conversation. And
in such a short period,
in such a short period, well, COVID really expedited that.
The only good thing to come out of COVID.
There's a couple other good things came out of COVID too. But that was, to me, like, that's where the opportunity lies, because we can have these face-to-face meetings with people from all over the world instantly, almost, you know. So it's really something that I'm keen on, and it's something I'm going to be working on when I get to Chicago this week, is to get, I'm really excited for this trip, because I'm going to be able to connect with downtown counselors from across North America, and maybe even the world, right? And especially in North America, we are all suffering from a lot of the same issues, and we have a lot of people who are suffering from those issues as well. And any way we can help the city, help the people that are suffering, any way that we can do that is going to be helpful. And as it stands right now, you can see that we're in, like, when it comes to, and I always relate everything back to boxing, I see that we're kind of like, communities seem to be in the sixth round of fighting against some of the issues that happen in their downtowns, because it's been around long enough now that we're starting to see, you know, small breakthroughs of light at the end of the tunnel for certain cities where things seem to be getting a little bit better. And hopefully we're over the hump where the worst is behind us, and hopefully housing comes quicker. And you could see how we're doing it in Ontario and across the country, of how this, never before in my lifetime have I seen this push for more housing, more housing, more housing, more housing. And that's going to be the big one. Housing is going to be the big one. The other big one's going to be the drugs, right? What are we going to do about the drug situation? Because that's one of the big things that's fueling the issues in downtown cores. So I'm interested to see what other jurisdictions are doing, other cities are doing, and I'm excited to go to Chicago.
You know, you mentioned housing, and I sit on the Development and Heritage Committee. We have approved so many projects, not only downtown, but all across the city. And the issue that we're running into is that these builders just don't want to build right now because it's so expensive, right? Interest rates are through the roof, and material costs, and then even just finding the labor to do it. So everyone's like, okay, well, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait. Hopefully things are going to, you know, prices will drop. Realistically, I think we know prices aren't going to drop. We've now set this bar. And so I've been having conversations with MPP Dowie and his staff, and even other MPPs in the province, and saying, like, we almost need to somehow force these developers, like, look, if we're going to give you a building permit, you have 12 months to break ground. Otherwise, we're pulling it, right? Because it's one thing to, okay, we're approving all these projects, but if no one's building, you know, we can't wait 5, 6, 7, 8 years for these projects to be built, right? And especially in downtown Windsor, we need more people living down there. That is key, right? And even Eddie Francis was saying this when he was mayor, you know, is that we need people living and working downtown. And the more people you have living and working down there, the better downtown is going to be.
Yeah, it's the density thing, right?
Absolutely.
You're right, you're bang on. It's the price of building right now is so expensive, but I think builders are starting to get the picture that it's not going to get cheaper.
It's not, you know? Not at all.
It's not going to get cheaper. And I think through the CIP grants, that's where a lot of the incentive is to get that CIP. And I know there's a couple of particular places downtown right now where the city, you know, the building department has been pretty stiff-armed, saying, listen, you got to get going here or else we're going to pull the permits and you're going to lose $35,000, which is what your deposit was. You know, you're going to lose it. So start getting to work. And, you know, it's the same thing with this vacant storefront tax, right? If you're not going to activate something, because for some people, you know, and I look at my old building, the Boom Boom Room at 315 Olette, for some people, it's a rounding error. You know, like, if you're a rich guy from Toronto and you own a building in downtown Windsor, you're going to wait 30 years. It's a rounding error to you if you're a billionaire. What do you care?
Yeah.
Right? But we need to have something that puts a little bit of heat on some of these derelict building owners. But at the same time, if we have to incentivize more to get some of the construction builders to get moving, I'm not against that either. You know, if the CIP is not strong enough, what else could we do? What else can we do? And that only happens when everybody's straight up, when everybody sits at the table and is 100% honest with one another. If someone came to me, a builder downtown, and said, hey, counselor, I want to get going. Here's why I'm not going. It's because of the cost, right? I would right away pick up the phone and start making some phone calls and say, what can we do to help this builder? You know, what can we do today to get this shovel on the ground and get things moving quicker? But that only comes with honesty. And that's kind of like where the White House kind of like really started coming into play for me, because so many issues with that burnt down White House. But after having a 100% honest conversation with the owner, you know, at the very least, he said, you know what, if you guys want to paint it, paint it. And now him and I, Deepak, we talk all the time, right? We're working on getting a new fence around there. He's working on actually getting things done. But he's honest with me, right? He shows me the books. He shows me the papers. He sends me the contracts. He sends me everything. And he's, and that's what I want to see with people. Where at 315, we don't hear whispers, right? Like nothing.
Former boo movie.
Yeah, I would never hear from the owners. I can't get them on the phone. If you call the number that's on the side of the building, it goes straight to a voicemail that's not even activated.
Come on.
Like it's a joke. Oh, you know, wow. It's a joke, right? So that's someone that I would want to put the fear of the Lord into.
Yeah.
By saying, listen, never mind the measly small numbers we're adding to your property tax. I'm going to ding you for whatever it takes to make you answer the phone and say, I'm here to help. Yeah. Downtown, I'm here to help the community, because right now all you're doing is hurting the community. And if you don't care, that's not my problem. If you don't care, sell it, because I'll find someone who wants to buy it.
And you know, that upsets me even more is the fact, you know, when you see these developers and these building owners and even the realtors, right? There's in every industry, there's always going to be a percentage of these bad people, right, who just don't want to follow the rules, or you know, they're slumlords, or they're just horrible people, right? It's like anything, you know, mm-hmm. anything you do, you know, any profession. And though, but then it's upsetting, because then it's like, well, now we're penalizing all landlords, we're penalizing all developers, or we're putting all realtors even into that category, right? There's a lot of good realtors, but there's a lot of bad realtors. I'm a realtor. I know. I deal with them too. And the reason I got into real estate, one, was because I liked the flexibility. And two, was because I had dealt with a couple jerks who I was like, oh my God, like how are these people, they're ripping people off. And I wanted to put a stop to that, right? And I think there are some really good developers out there too. But then, you know, you have a few bad apples and then they all get painted with that same brush, right? And that's part of the problem. But yeah, there's got to be something that we can do as a city. And I mean, I see it on Tecumseh Road. Also, you look Tecumseh Road between Howard and Walker, it's slowly starting to get better, but there's those buildings that have been empty for 20 years. Nothing's ever gone in there, right? And I've been trying to work with the city and saying, can we somehow get some CIP for Tecumseh Road, even if it's just between Walker and Howard? Like, we need to start activating this, right?
And I see it in Detroit was like, Detroit is always so eye-opening every time I'm there. You know, I was at an event inside an old building that has now been transformed into a public space. It's an art gallery. It's a museum. It's a place where poets and it's activated, right? People can activate and use the space. There's no air conditioning, you know what I mean? But it doesn't matter. It's a free space that people love to just walk around. And I look at different buildings and I say to myself, you know, if you just answered the phone, we could probably cut a deal with you where I would cover the insurance. We would try and find somebody to pay for the hydro, and at least it'd be in use. At least it would be in use, right? Where people could come in and look at the building, and it's like you could have a showing for this building every day. And that's why I'm so, you know, Muhammad Khan, who owns the volleyball court downtown, that piece of property. That's how he came about too, right? Pick up the phone, answer the phone, and let's talk. And once you talk, you can find a way to get to a better place. And I'm not saying everyone's going to be like that, because you're right. There's some people that aren't very nice. There's some people that don't care. But I truly believe that the majority of people do care, that they do want to see good things for their downtown. They do want to see good things for their city. You just got to be able to work with them. And that's where my expertise is. Like, I like to think of myself as a master deal maker and a master negotiator.
You really are.
And it's like, you know, like, just get me on the phone. You know what I mean? Get me on the phone with somebody. Get me on the phone. Once you get me on the phone, I'll figure this out. And he was awesome. You know, like, he was awesome. The original location for our beach volleyball court fell through, and I was trying so hard to make it work at the first spot, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work. But I didn't want to give up on the idea.
I don't know where it is, but I have a feeling. If I was to guess, I think I know where it would be.
And there was some issues that the deal died at the 11th hour.
Oh,
but
geez.
You know, we didn't give up. I just said, well, let's find another space. Let's go talk to somebody else. And it just turns out that Mr. Khan again, out of fate, never met the guy, never heard the other guy in my life. He actually ran against Drew Dilkins, you know.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it was like 2006. He ran for city council. He's a guy who loved this city. And I remember when me and Andrew Corbett, who's on the BIA, who we went to go meet him together. And I remember the first thing he said to me when he walked up to this, you know, pit of a just empty space that I used to be a DJ at.
It used to be the Blind Dog and Bernie's World back in the day.
It was the Residence.
The Residence. It's had a million names.
Is when I was there. Yeah. And he says to me, he says, my wife told me I'm not allowed to say no to you. Because we love this city. And
his wife?
No. And he said, my wife and my kids said, I have to do whatever I have to do to help downtown Windsor.
Amazing.
So whatever you guys want. And he was so cooperative. And, you know, and now we have a volleyball court downtown.
But it's because you picked up the phone, you called him, and he answered.
He answered. Yeah. Right? And believe me, it wasn't even one time. I must have called him 15 times. I must have had the person who owns the building beside him, the old Dr. Disc, is also on the BIA, and he knew him, and he kept calling him. So we just kept, you know, like, it was a full-court press, and eventually he did get back to me, and now we got a beach volleyball court downtown, and we built it in 3 weeks, and we're already working on activating it more and trying, you know, the Free For Walls Arts Festival. Dan's going to be up there this week, I think, painting and doing a cool mural up there. So things are changing downtown. It's just, you know, I want to work harder and faster, and I need more help, and I need the city behind me, and, you know, I need the building owners behind me, the residents behind me, the politicians behind me, and behind us. You know, it's not about me. It's about downtown. And to me, like, I tell people all the time, and like, I've made millions of dollars in downtown Windsor. I've lost millions of dollars in downtown Windsor. You know, like, my entire adult life has been in downtown Windsor ever since the first day that I moved here in 94 or 95. And I was working, I got a job at the Windsor Music Cafe because Mr. Lee knew that me and my brother were broke and he wanted to help us out. And I've never left downtown Windsor since that day. And, you know, my heart, my finances, my family, everything is there. So it's like, I say to myself, if what's the goal? You know what I mean? If I only do this for 4 years, what's the goal? And for me, the goal is leave it better than you found it. And when I found downtown Windsor, it was in a hell of a lot better place than it is now. So I've got to do my best to get it, you know, back to where I want it to be or where I believe it can be. And it can even exceed what it was in 1994. I really, truly, honestly believe that because the future is so bright. I just got to kind of keep grinding it and keep grinding and keep grinding because I see the vision. I got the ideas. I can see it as clear as day of where downtown Windsor is going. It's just, you know, nothing happens overnight. And, you know, there's 99 numbers before you get to 100. And I'm still working on it.
We've been in this role less than a year. And I will say, and I'm not just BSing here, I do think downtown is better today than it was a year ago. I would say the absolute worst, and I hate to use that word like, oh, it's the worst it's been, but the absolute low, I guess, of downtown was probably when you won. Like, I would say, I you know what I mean? Like, honestly, I think looking at it back, and I think downtown is in a better spot now than it was a year ago. It's slowly going up, and it's an uphill battle, but I think we got the majority of council on the same page. I know that the mayor's on the, you know, on the same page where we all want to see downtown come back, right? And again, me and you talk about it every day. There's going to be an announcement, I think, in a couple weeks of something that I helped you with. So it's coming back. And again, you're not going to fix it overnight, but I think downtown is in a better spot today than it was a year ago.
Yeah, I hope so. And I like I say to people, every day is three steps forward, two steps back, three steps forward, two steps back. Like it's a battle, but I love a fight. You know what I mean? I love it. Right? So I don't like, for me, it's like, I'm just not the kind of person that likes things easy. I like it hard. I like to fight. I like to grind. I like to work. Like I'm addicted to it, and don't get me wrong, it has certainly hurt other parts of my life, but I'm loving it, and I love the grind, and I love the challenge, and what better position to be in a challenge to be the Ward 3 councillor of downtown Windsor? I don't think there's another challenge in this country that is.
Oh no,
that is that. So I'm loving it, and to me, it's like I want to win, and I'm gonna win, and I'm gonna leave downtown better than I found it. That's for sure.
Downtown is lucky to have you. The city's lucky to have you. I am so thankful every day that you won in Ward 3, just because, again, we have that relationship where, because we have a lot of the same issues, right? It's like people always ask me, like, oh, what is the biggest issue in Ward 4? I'm like, it depends where you are. I have so many different neighborhoods, right? I got South Walkerville, Old Walkerville. I got around Erie Street and Ottawa Street, and the issues are totally different. I want you to know that, and I don't know if I've ever told you, but I am so appreciative to have you as a friend and a council colleague, because I don't know if I think I could do it, but it's I wouldn't be having as much fun if you weren't here, and I wouldn't have that person that I can trust. Like we vent to each other every day about things, and we know that, you know, it's a vault also. Like, you can tell me things, but we also help each other. I'm like, hey, Ronaldo, I need this. Or you call me and you're like, hey, I need you to help me with this. Or what do you think about this? So we have that good relationship. And I think there's always that one person on council that you kind of confide in. And I think you're mine. I know that. And I think I'm yours. I hope.
I talk to everybody.
You do talk to everybody. But
I mean, no stones unturned.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, for sure. Me and you got in together. We had a friendship before. We have a love. We share a lot of the same friends. You know, we I had your sign on my lawn.
You did.
It would have been awkward if you didn't, if you didn't win. And I didn't think about that. But, yeah. You know, there's a lot going on here. And I think, again, and we don't see eye to eye on every issue.
No.
We're not supposed to be.
No.
But
how boring would that be if everybody got along, if everybody was like the same? I mean, that's communism. But, you know, but honestly, I wouldn't, that would be such a boring life if everybody agreed on everything.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, this is how you get people to a better place, is that when you disagree with something, what you don't do is you just don't turn your back and walk away, because then you're not going to get to a better place, right? You're going to get to a better place when you can say to somebody, yeah, you know what? I don't agree with you on this issue, but come with me. You know what I mean? Come see this. Come hang out here. Come look at this. Come do this. And then it's the same the other way around. And you reciprocate with one another. And you try and get to a better place where you're like, okay, we may not agree on this, but we're going to try this. We're going to try that. And what stalls things and what kills things is when you look at somebody who doesn't have the same opinions with you or doesn't agree with you, and you just say, well, we're not talking anymore. You know, we're done. We don't talk. We don't hang out. What does that get you? It gets you nothing. Right? And I'd love to see this, and so far I see a lot of it in this council, is that, you know, we have compromise is a real thing, right? Conversation is a big thing, and you know, we're still too early in to really judge. And again, I know nothing. I know very little of the past, so I don't take the past into account or anything. I just kind of have fun, and you know, So let's see how we can do things, and I want to do better things for the community. And I answer the phone, and I know you do the same thing. And you know, like you and I share Angelo really a lot. Like, and I mean, I don't mean Angelo Mariani. I mean Angelo from St. Leonard's House, right?
Yeah.
Like we, anytime one of us finds a solution to something that we know can help each other, we don't hide it. We don't like say, oh, I'm gonna be greedy. No, we share it with everybody else and say, hey guys, we got this service. It's working here. Maybe it could work for you. If you need help with it, here you go, man. Like, try and help. Because and I think you and I see the vision of trying to see what's best for everybody rather than just what's best for ourselves. And I don't know if that's selfish or unselfish, or if it's leads to a good place, or to me, it just doesn't matter. Whatever we could do that's best for the people, whether we like it or not, we got to try and do it. And if it works, it works. If it fails, it fails. But if we believe it's what's best, we got to do it, because that's our duty. That's the oath we took, right? So,
and we always got to do it our way. And you got to, and just like the campaign, you know, there were people telling, and I'm sure you had people telling you, hey, do this, do that. And I didn't have a campaign manager. I literally had nobody. I ran everything myself. But I did have some of those people who would call who, you know, were involved with politics, or some who just maybe thought they knew better and were like, oh, you know what? You should do this. And I said to my wife from day one, I'm like, I got to do it my way, because I'd rather fail, do it and know that I did it my way instead of failing and being like, oh, if I would have done it my way, I would have had a chance, right? And I think it goes the same with counsel, is we gotta make sure that we're voting with, I always vote with my conscience, my heart. I know you do the same as well. And we gotta make sure that we're doing it, you know, that way, more than anything. And that doesn't mean we're not listening to other people. But at the end of the day, we gotta make sure we feel good about, you know, the decisions we're making.
Well, I remember Kieran, after like the first or second council meeting, Kieran said something to me and it sticks with me all the time. And he said, sometimes when you vote, winning is worse than losing on a vote. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes you'll sit there and feel that even though you voted and you won something and you feel, you won't, you'll feel it in your gut. You know what I mean? Cause you know, we're the end of the line. We got to make the decision.
Yeah.
Right? It's our job to make that decision. And some decisions, it's so close. You know, it's so close. You're like nuts. Like, I remember the first few months I was having a lot of issues, health issues, where I just couldn't sleep at night. And, you know, I was just always, and I'm a guy that, I'm not new to the media. I'm not new to interviews. I'm not new to public speaking. I've been doing this for 35 years. I've been out there in front of a camera or doing things in the community. Like, and even me, it really had a dramatic effect on me, because you're having sleepless nights, right? And you're reading something over and over and over and over again, and you're calling 100 different people and trying to figure out which way to go. And sometimes it's so close that it comes down to, what does my conscience tell me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What does my conscience tell me? Because a lot of things that happen in this community and a lot of decisions we make are right down the middle, and you just got to kind of go with what's best. And, you know, even something as simple as speed bumps, which I truly believe in. It's the last one I did on Church was 51 to 49 in the voting.
Yeah.
For like by 1%.
Yeah.
You know, we got the speed bumps, and I couldn't have imagined that it would be that close. I thought for sure it was in the bag. And I remember telling one of the residents, I went there the last day of the
survey.
Yeah. And the resident who had requested it and really was like the key person for the street, I remember calling her and saying, yeah, I'm coming out for one more time. She's like, oh, counselor, you don't have to. She's like, you don't have to. This is in the bag. And I'm like, no. I'm not the kind of person that thinks anything's in the bag, right? To me, it's like I once worked with a gentleman named Barry, and he would say to me, if you think your competition is drowning, you stick a hose in their throat. You know what I mean? Like, you go right to the end no matter what. You never take anything for granted.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if I would have listened, we may have lost that vote. You know what I mean? Like, knocking on that one extra door. Like, it means everything. It means everything. And that's, you know, you grind it right to the end. If you're going to do something from day one, the last day you're going to give it the same amount of push you did from the first day, because that's the difference between winning and losing sometimes. And that speed bump survey, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. When she had sent me the picture and she says, look, 151%. I'm like, oh my goodness. Because we were doing the math in our heads, the amount of houses, the people we knew, and we're like, oh, we're at like 78, 80.
Oh, wow.
But no, we weren't. We won by one vote. So
yeah, speed bump. I never thought speed bumps would be as controversial as they are.
Or bikes.
Or
bikes.
Yeah, you know? I know. You're a busy man, so I know you got to get going. Really quick, what is your vision? What are your goals, I guess, for this term? What do you hope? Because who knows if you'll run again, but say you only had 4 years, what is your goal?
Bring the community together, bring downtown together, bring life and fun back to downtown Windsor, you know, make it safe. Obviously, it was my number one campaign. That's what was on the billboards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what's on the pamphlets. And I saw it last night at the Scarehouse premiere. I was watching that little episode where they were showing my flyers, and shout out to the Scarehouse team. That was really nice and unexpected. But, you know, like, safety first. And it starts with safety. And then right after safety is fun. You know what I mean? Right after safety is fun, because, you know, I remember the days, and we were bringing the biggest DJs in the world to downtown Windsor. And I remember people were so proud of Windsor, and people looked at Boom Boom Room as their club, but it was Windsor. That was like, I remember Eddie Francis calling me from Russia saying, oh my God, there's a boom boom room here. I remember Joel Puglioni, who works in the States, you know, moved to Chicago, and he's talking to people, and everyone's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's the, it, Windsor was like, getting Windsor back on the map in a positive light, you know, doing some big things downtown. And it starts with safety, but then the next thing is going to be like bringing back the fun. You know what I mean? Making sure that people are having a good time. And my friend Tamara says it to me all the time. She's like, Ronaldo, you got to focus back on what you're really good at, is making sure people are having a good time. And that's what life needs. That's what people need. There's so much misery, and so many people walking around with their heads down. You know, show people, walk around with your head up. Make sure people are having a good time. Make sure there's life and activity. And that's what I like. That's what I try and focus on every day. But safety is going to be the big one. And hopefully we're going to tackle that sooner rather than later, because I think the community's given us a lot of ideas. I think we have a lot of good ideas. The mayor's office has a lot of good ideas. All the other counselors have good ideas. And it's going to be getting those ideas together and not being afraid to fail, because we're going to fail. You know what I mean? We're going to get some hiccups. We're going to take a few steps backwards. But that's what it's about. You know what I mean? Failing fast, dusting yourself off, getting back up, and getting back in the fight. That's what it's all about. And as long as we continue to push forward, we're going to move forward. And that's what I want to see for downtown. That's what I want to see for this city.
Rocky lost and Rocky won, man.
You got it.
But he came back and he won in Rocky 2. So, and he lost in Rocky 3 and came back and won. So
Canelo fought a good fight on Saturday, dude. We're going to talk about real boxers.
Yeah. Well, sorry if I just gave, if someone hasn't watched the Rocky movies, I'm sorry if I just gave everything away. There you go, Ward 3 Councillor Ronaldo Agostino, and honored to call him my friend as well for the debut episode of the Windsor Podcast. Visit us online, windsorpodcast.com, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Thanks for coming, man.
God bless. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Windsor Podcast. Find more at windsorpodcast.com.